Views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Paramania, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
You are listening to Paramania Radio.
The sun goes down, the stars come out, and all that counts is here and now. My universe will never be the same. I'm glad you came. I'm glad you came.
You are listening to Paramania Radio.
This chap is obviously a charlatan. I suggest we move on to a less...
Don't you disrespect me, little man. Don't you derogate or deride. You're in my world now, not your world. And I got friends on the other side. That's an echo, gentlemen. Just a little something we have here in Louisiana. A little parlor trick, don't worry. Sit down at my table, put your mind at ease. If you relax, it will enable me to do anything I please. I can read your future, I can change it around some too. I look deep into your heart and soul. You do have a soul, don't you, Lawrence? Make your wildest dreams come true. I got voodoo, I got hoodoo, I got things I ain't even tried. And I got friends on the other side.
He's got friends on the other side.
The cards, the cards, the cards will tell. The past, the present, and the future as well. The cards, the cards. Just take three. Take a little trip into your future with me. Now you, young man, are from across the sea. You come from two long lines of royalty. I'm a royal myself on my mother's side. Your lifestyle's high, but your funds are low. You need to marry a little honey whose daddy got dough. Mom and dad cut you off, huh, playboy?
Sad but true.
Now y'all gotta get hitched, but hitching ties you down. You just wanna be free, hop from place to place. But freedom takes green. It's the green you need. And when I looked into your future, it's the green that I see. On you, little man, I don't wanna waste much time. You've been pushed around all your life. You've been pushed round by your mother and your sister and your brother. And if you was married, you'd be pushed round by your wife. But in your future, the you I see is exactly the man you always wanted to be. Shake my hand. Come on, boys. Won't you shake a poor sinner's hand? Yeah. Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Transformation Central.
Transformation Central.
Transformation Central.
Transformation Central.
Transmogrification Central. Can you feel it? You're changing, all right. I hope you're satisfied. But if you ain't, don't blame me. You can blame my friends on the other side.
Now that you want it.
Good morning. And it's a lovely sunny morning up here in Staffordshire. Welcome to Sunday Morning Spiritual. Myself, Father Alan Cox, and with me is the incredible Bishop David Parry. Hello, David.
Bishop under a lot of pressure at the minute. Good morning, Alan. How are you, my friend?
Yes, I'm fine, thank you. I told you off air, we had our teething problems on Inspirational Voices with Gillian this morning, but I think we've got over ours. The lovely mother Amanda is now connected, so
yeah.
So anyway, looking forward to the show, very much so. So yes, you're flying off this coming Wednesday, aren't you, David?
Yeah, I leave this Wednesday for 11 days, about 11 days, I think we worked out.
Yep.
I'm going to Osh in Kyrgyzia, Bishkek in Kyrgyzia, and then my wonderful Almaty in my wonderful Kazakhstan. So very, very busy schedule indeed.
And of course, then you will come back as your Arlenist then, won't you? It's all right, just my joke, David. You'll be professor.
Academic titles are completely separate from religious titles.
I know they are, so just my joke. Right.
I'm already Holiness. yeah, I mean, in recognition for all the work I've done across the years on Central Asian dramas, Central Asian poetry, sometimes the occasional novel, sometimes the occasional textbook.
Yes.
I'm being installed as a professor of literature at Osh State University, which is the biggest in the region. It is part of the international university. They only teach in English and Russian. It's a very, very great honour indeed, and quite startling. And this time last year, that was not being said.
Yes.
And it's there are some teaching duties that go with it, of course. and I'm expecting, I think, this time round to give a couple of lectures at Osh, and I think some, so in two countries, in other words. And I think when I get to Almaty, they want me to speak at the Institute of Journalists. I have to clarify that one myself. And, of course, my book is being launched in two countries. At the American University in Bishkek, yes, which is Kyrgyzia, and at the National Library in Kazakhstan when I get there.
So, that's brilliant. So, do you know which day you will become professor?
My schedule seems to alter minute by minute. I have rough outline. That's one of the joys of working with that region.
Right.
You never quite know what will happen next.
Oh dear. Well, you know, it's I think it's wonderful news, and it's thoroughly deserved, David. You know, so I think it's absolutely wonderful, you know, that your work is being recognised.
Well, I'm not in any major motion pictures yet, which is one of the things I suppose I wanted to dip into. No, look, Alan, teasing aside, yes, I mean, it's very gratifying to finally, you know, be seen in that light, regarded in that light.
Yes, of course.
And I confess I'm all over the place. I mean, there's a billion things to do. I'm under pressure for editing a book at the minute, which I've got to finish before I leave. Yeah. By one of the greatest poets in Kazakhstan, curiously, Raushan, friend of mine.
Yeah.
I've got a... I don't know. Everything's in the air, listeners. Everything's in the air, and I'm under huge pressure. I feel like screaming. There we are.
Well, unfortunately, but it can't be helped. We won't be able to have a Sunday morning spiritual next week or the week after, because you actually arrive back in England on the Sunday the 25th. So, but, you know, onwards and upwards, these next 2 weeks are very important. So we wish you all the very best for them, that everything goes really well for you, David.
Thank you. I must admit, it's a bit of a slogger. I feel like I'm under the cosh at the minute. So. But
well,
the show must go on, as they say.
Well, they do, don't they? They do yeah, say that.
No matter what.
It's a very strange thing, isn't it, when you actually think about it. How life can change so much. Because about 14 months ago, you became Bishop David Parry. And this time last year, I had no idea that I'd become Father Alan Cox, and you hadn't got a clue that you're going to be a professor. It, you know, you never know what is ahead of you in life, even if you're psychic.
let me say there's another side to that. I mean, people have to put the effort in. I mean, one of the things that irritates me about the paranormal community, present company accepted, Father, is that they think all these things drop out the air and you never do any work towards them.
That's right.
I mean, you in particular are a broadcaster of many years' experience, you know, and you work hard at what you do. And I've just noticed that recently. And it's part of our culture nowadays. Here we are. My rant is starting early, great. You know, I am great because I'm here. Well, actually, no, you're not. It's particularly with these young actors nowadays, you know, this whole Big Brother MTV attitude. I am me, so what? We've all got to have a sense of perspective, a sense of work. Whatever happened to the joy of work? Sounding off.
No, but it's like people who suddenly come into the, shall we say, the limelight, and they think, they say, an overnight sensation. And the majority of people, you know, they've probably worked for 10, 20 years or more to get to where they are, and they suddenly, if you want to use the expression, make it. And then the media and everybody think that they're an overnight sensation, and they don't think about all the work that's gone in over the years to get to that point. So, yeah, I totally...
Well, I mean, certainly with Gnosticism, I mean, I was actually discussing things with that church for well over 10 years.
Well, right.
Before they said, well, isn't it time we did something?
So how did you first get in touch? You know, how did that liaison with the Valentinian Gnostic Church in Italy come about?
Well, I wasn't quite sure where I stood within the Gnostic tradition, if I'm honest. I mean, you know, I've always been some sort of Christian pagan or pagan Christian. Mm. I don't see these things as entirely separate. I think they're different sides of the very same coin. So I was in touch with a lot of different Gnostic groups across the years. And it was actually, that's where the spirit does enter into all of this. By chance and circumstance, I was suddenly connected with the right person for Valentinianism about 2 years ago. So that's why there was this sudden leap forward, I suppose.
Yeah, yes, well, I think everything happens in turn, in time, doesn't it? You know, I think there's a lot of truth to that. Well, of course, we've got Mother Amanda on and today, and... we're starting to get these connections going. I mean, people, you know, who know about the history of you and I, and, you know, Bishop and me, priest, etc., and thinking, well, you know, what does it mean? Where is it going? Is it going anywhere? Well, I think through both our own commitments, we haven't been able to really do a lot about it. But now, as the year is going on, we are going to make a difference to that, aren't we, David?
Well, let me say a couple of things without giving the game away too much, Alan.
Yeah.
You know, certainly when I'm back from Central Asia, I'm starting... I mean, I've been dipping out of informal meditation circles for years. I've held informal circles for years. But we're starting a much more formal... excuse me, Gnostic meditation circle, a particularly Valentinian one at St. Peter's in Clapham.
Yeah.
They put up with me, so we're starting that in the early weeks of October. Certainly there's a Gnostic rite of transmission, which is not quite the same as a full Mass, because those things are really difficult to do. But we're holding a rite of transmission, which is a type of Mass, in December. Mother Amanda is coming to join us to help that. We're establishing a church of 13. No, it's not scary. Jesus and the Apostles, that sort of stuff, for December. What we intend to do is recognize each other's ordinations, cross-fertilize each other's ordinations. Therefore, you will be a priest in more than one tradition, Alan. You will be a priest in Amanda's as well. She will recognize the priesthood. And, you know, that's the first step of towards actually grounding Gnosticism, not only here in a more concrete way, but sort of extending the influence of the French. I mean, my own lineage is through the Italians.
Yes.
Amanda's is through the French. But, you know, we think this it's a good idea. It's the right type of spirituality at the right time, and we all need to strengthen each other if we're going to take this any further. But, you know, you and I have had a billion things to do, but the time is coming, and that time is now.
And the time is now for me to play a song and get Amanda on. So, shall we do that?
Yep, let's do that, Alan.
Okay.
Music to move your soul? Then sit down, put your feet up, and start rocking with Doc. Check the schedule for airtime. That's Rocking with Doc with your host Dr. Dave, only on the Paramania Radio Network.
And welcome back to Sunday Morning Spiritual.
And I'm back too.
you just did that to see what was going to happen, David.
Oh, God, the morning.
And that that lovely laugh that you can hear is Mother Amanda. Hello, Amanda.
Good morning, Alan.
It's lovely.
Good morning, David.
Good morning, my friend. Actually, you have a preferred title, I seem to recall.
Amanda, or Sophia Mariamne. That's the title given in our tradition for a female bishop.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah. You see, although although I am Father Alan Cox, it is all new to me, because David, when he asked me, he said, I've been living my life as a Gnostic, and I didn't even know it. So I didn't hesitate when he asked me to. So I am, and I've read up obviously a lot about it since, but it really is lovely to be in contact and now friends with somebody from who is helping so many people in France. I think that's absolutely marvellous, Amanda.
Thank you. Yeah, and I can relate to what you've just said, actually. I think, well, David and I had a conversation on the telephone the other night, and we both have that feeling that you've just mentioned, that we were living as a Gnostic without knowing it, without being aware.
Yes.
Certainly for me, when I discovered this tradition, a lot of things fell into place.
So how did that happen for you, Amanda?
Oh, it's a very long story, but I began a few years ago, well, probably 10 years ago now, by reading some books by an English psychiatrist called Arthur Gurdon. I don't know if you've heard of him, but he was from Bath, and he worked as a psychiatrist in a mental asylum. And every single person that he saw over 40 years was a repressed psychic. And as he worked more deeply with these people, he started to discover that a lot of them had past lives of being Cathars. Very strange and controversial topic, but still, he seemed to believe it, and he was convinced because the memories they had checked out historically when he looked at the information.
Yeah.
And so he became fascinated by Gnosticism. And he also said that part of the mental health problems that repressed psychics had were due to having what he called kind of feelings that there was evil in the environment around them. So they would react by having an anxiety attack or becoming obsessional, like developing OCD.
Yes.
And he discovered that each of these people had very strong memories of being either a Gnostic or a Cathar. So that was where it first kind of came into my consciousness more than 10 years ago. But for the recent ordination, this happened about a year ago. I was living in Paris, and a woman that I met completely by chance asked me if I wanted to join an esoteric order that she was in. I agreed, even though I didn't know anything about it.
That's like me with David. Yes.
Yes. I had no clue what I was letting myself in for at all. So is that how it was for you, Alan?
Yeah. Yes.
You didn't have any idea.
No idea at all. We were sitting in a cafe in Clapham Common, not far from where David lives, and he said, I've been wanting to ask you, would you consider being a Gnostic priest? And I just said yes. So
there you are, see. It's kind of instantaneous, isn't it? You just know.
Yeah, that's right.
It was like that with this woman. And so I joined her order. And when I had the initiation, it was an extremely profound spiritual experience. I just never had experienced anything like that before. And that was April 2015. And then by February 2016, I was made Archbishop.
Amazing. Amazing.
But you have some new news, my dear colleague and friend.
I do indeed. I just
told... Would you care to share that with us? I'm so honoured you told me first.
Yes, David.
Well, you know that. I mean, you're not only a colleague, you're becoming a really important new friend of mine. But you've had some extraordinary news. And Alan, this show will be the first to broadcast
it. That's marvellous, yes.
That's right. Well, so our tradition, the Gnostic Church that I'm a part of, we had several different churches. And in recent months, my patriarch, Paul Sander, has received the wonderful news that his church has been made into a cultural association of France. So that means that all of the different variations of the church are united under one name now, which is Helios. And I discovered yesterday that I've been appointed to become the Archbishop for the Republic of Ireland.
Wow. Marvellous.
To represent our church in the Celtic countries. So for now it's Ireland, but in the future, you know, there might be more.
That's extraordinary.
That is wonderful news, Amanda. And it shows that Gnosticism is, I don't know what the right phrase is, making a comeback. I don't know how to put it properly, but I think that it's showing now that more people are taking note of spirit and are taking note of trying to live a good life and bringing all society together. That's why I look at Gnosticism.
Absolutely, and it's the unification of different traditions with one aim. And that aim is, you know, for us to be, as you say, connected with spirit.
Hello?
Yes, sorry. Yeah.
Did you hear that, Alan? Yeah,
I did indeed. It's all right, the sound, my end, I think, went a bit funny there. But no, of course I did. Yes, that's marvellous, thank you. Yeah. You know, Skype has been playing up this morning. Never mind. We'll get there, David. We'll get there.
So well, I mean, you know, this is a huge step forward for all of us. Forgive me for jumping in.
No. Not at all, David. I was just about to say.
Well, you know, I mean, the Vintraisian traditions, which at least is one of the prominent lines that Amanda represents, you know, they're trying to revive the whole idea of the mystical mass. You know, those other types of mass whereby we're not just talking about ideas, but we're experiencing the supersensible. We're beginning to touch the supernatural. You know, and it astonishes me how the mainstream churches are distancing themselves left, right and centre to get away from what's the core element of what they're meant to be doing. I don't know how you feel about that, Amanda. But, you know, a Gnosticism, as I was saying to Ellen a minute ago, it's the right idea at the right time and in the right place. Mm. And I think, you know, what a great blessing that all of us have been asked on a number of levels, maybe, to represent this glorious and holy thing, this wonderful tradition. There's too much nonsensical scientism around. Paranormal community, the sciences will never, ever, 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 ever talk about anything beyond the physical. They cannot. It's that simple. It's built into the way they discuss things. They're not trying to be awkward. The minute they stretch beyond frames of reference, beyond the material, then almost de facto it's no longer science. That's why they prove to be so difficult. But it doesn't mean there aren't ways of discussing these things. We discuss them through philosophy, through art, through religion, and we make sense of them that way. What do you think, Amanda?
I could not have put it better myself. There's nothing I can add to that, apart from to say that when I hear you speak, I hear the poetry.
Oh, bless you. Alan's never said anything that nice to me.
You'd be worried if I did, wouldn't you, Tom?
Oh, dear. What do you think? I mean, you know, that's why I think when our paranormal friends are plugging away at that type of discussion all the time, you know, then they get frustrated, then they think the sciences are narrow-minded, which they can be. I mean, we all know that. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think it shows a sort of lack of understanding of what the natural sciences can actually do. You know, the natural sciences, by definition, are natural, not supernatural. There can't be that bridge. It doesn't exist. What do you think, Alan?
Well, I was going to ask you, Amanda, how do you know how the other churches in France are reacting to yourself, you know, the Gnostic Church in France, or haven't they muted anything yet?
Well, I don't personally know because I haven't had any experience with that yet, but we did speak with our patriarch the other day who said, watch out because the Catholic Church are hating us at the moment.
Shall I tell you something about that, Amanda, right? You know, I won't pretend to know a lot about Catholicism, but from what I can understand, you know, that the Catholic people aren't supposed to really acknowledge that there can be bad energies or anything like that. And,
oh, yeah.
But amazingly, how many people that Anne and I help, and then they'll say, well, you know, we are Catholics. And I think to myself, well, is this a case that the Catholic Church are really out of touch with their own congregation, you know? And the irony of it is they have their own priests who can be called in to clear these energies away, but nobody's supposed to know about them. I think that...
Certainly, yeah.
It's like the Native Americans, they say, white man speaks with forked tongue, and I think sometimes they do, so...
I have a little theory about that, which is that a lot of what the Catholic Church does is magic, and they don't want anyone else to have that power.
That's right.
To do that magic themselves. So that's my theory, that, and also I feel a lot of magic has left the Catholic Church, which is why we're having a huge drop in attendance, one of the reasons.
I would agree there. I think it's like belonging to a secret society that if you are in the know, you can't tell anybody. And in a way, it's a way of control, isn't it? I mean, with me, with Gnosticism, it's about allowing people think what they think. They can look at it in whatever eyes they've got, embrace whoever wants to be free thinking. And in a way, that draws people to you instead of doing it the other way, where instilling fear in people to make them believe in what you're believing in, your way of life, instead of just being free and open and saying, well, you know, come and join us and give us your ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And if you agree with that?
Yeah, I do agree with that. I mean, certainly our church has its own guidelines, and we have different masses that we practice. We obviously work on perpetuating the egregore, so we need to have certain rules that we all abide by as archbishops, you know, and priests. Yes. Not for members as such of the congregation, but we have our own obligations that we have to fulfill. It's not a free-for-all, you know?
No, I understand. Yeah. Yeah.
But at the same time, it's a lot more free.
Yeah. Oh, of course, you have to have a structure. Of course you do, Amanda. But the difference is, I think that people are open to listening to other people instead of saying, well... This is the way you will think, which is totally different. You can still have the structure of a church without having the indoctrination that you are not allowed to have your own mind, in a sense. And I think some religions do make it like that. What do you think, David?
No, I'm not into religion bashing, you know that by now. We all need more of the R word, not less of it. This mindless prejudice against religions is something I'm totally against. And it's the scientism, the false scientism of our particular age. Mm. This, that said, is an age of knowledge, not faith.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've got friends in all the churches. Most of them are really decent, hard-working, loving people. In fact, one of my best friends is a Jesuit who nearly burnt himself out and had a breakdown through the amount of work he was doing recently. Mm. You know, all of these arguments, and they are serious and they are important, and we must beware. Not everybody in every church will be on our side. We've got to be clear about that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, to my mind, it's better if we can all say, right, that was then, but this is now.
I agree.
You know, can we all find what links us, what we share, as we take steps, higher steps towards what comes next, towards the ultimate. You know, after people like Freud, after people like Jung, perfect, you know, society, people are aware that there's more to the human mind than they ever dreamed to realize in the past.
Completely agree.
You know, agnosticism, I think you agree with me, Amanda, you know, it's an umbrella term which has finally come of age. This is a Gnostic age, and it's an age which is beckoning us into the future.
Absolutely agree. And ultimately, whatever religion anyone follows, we are all seeking the same thing.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah.
It's,
helicopter's gone. Quiet, there's a first.
Now you caught me having a drink of water, to be honest, David. Excuse me.
Adam's Ale,
yes. I was going to do an advertisement then, but no, I won't. I'm not getting paid for it, so I won't advertise the brand I'm drinking. I do believe we are, you use the word magical, Amanda, but I do, in another context, I do believe we are going through, yes, of course, a dark period with what's going on in the world, but I do think we are literally, we can see that light at the end of the tunnel, and I do think we can create a magical world. I know the world will still always have its problems to one degree or another, but I think the turmoil that the world finds itself in at the moment is to do with us collectively across the world finding us back to basics, in the sense that people matter, that we care for each other, and in a really strange way, I see that although I never wanted anything like ISIS or anything like that to ever happen, but the human cost and the tragedy that it's created, and with all the refugees fleeing, in a strange way gives us a chance to show our humanity and caring, and the love for the people who are displaced, in a sense will give more power to the good than it will to the bad. So they don't realise it, but in a very macabre kind of way, ISIS have probably done a favour to the world in getting us back on track. Not that it should have ever happened in the first place, but now it has. I think we can turn things around to make the world a better place. I don't know if you see it like that, Amanda.
Well, it's an interesting perspective, and certainly being here in France, I was in Paris during the first attack on Charlie Hebdo.
Yes.
And so I've seen up close and personal the response amongst the people here in France to these different attacks. And I agree with what you say completely, because when that was happening, I was not just praying for the people who were being held hostage, I was praying for the terrorists also. Nobody wants to do that, really. And so the conditions under which these people were raised, and whatever happened to them to push them to that point, must have been very extreme. So for me, it's important to have compassion for both sides of the suffering.
You see, I think with the youngsters who get their heads turned and radicalised, I think it's a case that you could argue that society has let them down, and they're looking for something to associate with, belong to. And they will believe the propaganda, believing that their actions will lead, in their eyes, to a better world. It's a strange phenomenon, isn't it, David?
Oh, well, I mean, where do we go with all that? You know, we've got to be a little careful of back to basics. Human history reveals, you know, nature red in tooth and claw, which is a truth, whether we all like it or not. I personally am aware and respect it, but obviously don't like it. You know, on the march to evolution, we've got to keep our eyes very much open back to basics in this part of the world would not mean what it means in the middle of Syria, where I'm cutting people's heads off if they disagree with me.
No.
That is also back to basics. I'm sick of basics. A fee on basics. I want to be drinking champagne on my spaceship. You could all wallow around in the mud. That's not what I want at all. You know, the human condition is a mixed bag, and it can be just as bad as it can be gloriously good. We've got to be realistic. I mean, that's a Gnostic teaching, certainly. You know, there's a fracture in the human condition, in the human heart, in the human soul. We are divided beings. We've got a foot in the world of light and a foot in the world of darkness. And which one are we going to choose? That's a very, very serious question that only Gnosticism will solve over the next century or so. There we are. You got my rant there, Alan.
Hear, hear, Dave. Hear, hear. Hear, hear.
Amanda, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show, and I'm so glad that we've connected at last, long last, and we'll be meeting later on in the year, won't we? So
absolutely we will.
I'm really looking forward to that, you know. So
me too.
I think that guy's getting I can see him with his dog in Hyde Park Corner. David, you know, have you got your fife's box ready to stand up?
I've had about five friends already so far. Yes, I've got something to rant about. I think I knew what I want to say. I know what I want to say this morning. Right. Amanda, I will call you when I'm back from Central Asia. It's been an absolute joy, as always, speaking to you. Thank you so much.
And thank you.
Well, if people want to get in touch with you, how can they do that? Obviously, they can contact other than myself, but do you have a website? Do you have any contact details?
Yeah, the website is a work in progress right now, but I have my Facebook page, and there is also the Facebook of our church, which is the, it's called TCEPS, Tracy Critiglise de la Precious Sang.
Mon Dieu.
So people can find me through that. My Sophia Mariamne is my Facebook name.
Marvellous. Thank you so much indeed, Amanda. I've really enjoyed talking with you. It's been brilliant. So,
thank you, Alan. I'm sure it will be the first of many times, I hope.
I hope so. Yeah, brilliant. So,
Alan, at the risk of being cheeky, wouldn't she be a wonderful guest on Understanding Spirit, your other show?
I know she would. Would you like to come on my show, Amanda?
Well, why not? Yeah. Absolutely.
I will sort out when my Understanding Spirit show goes out live on a Thursday evening. So I'll look in my diary and I'll send you a message, and then we can work it out, can't we? So that'll be absolutely brilliant. Look forward to it.
Lovely.
Okay. And I think the next song that I've got lined up says it all. Van Morrison, Days Like This.
Well, it's not always raining. There'll be days like this. When there's no one complaining, there'll be days like this. When everything falls into place, like the flick of a switch. Oh, my mama told me there'll be days like this. When you don't need to worry, there'll be days like this. When no one's in a hurry, there'll be days like this. When all the parts of the puzzle start to look like they do, then I must remember there'll be days like this. When you don't need an answer, there'll be days like this. When you don't need a chance, there'll be days like this. When you don't get the trade by that old Tuesday, then I must remember there'll be days like this. Thank you. chasing. Well, that's nobody's business. Where did you want to live? Well, my mama told me there'll be days like this. When no one steps on my dreams, there'll be days like this. People understand what I mean. There'll be days like this. When you rang out the taser, about everything is. Well, my mama told me, yeah, there'll be days like this. There'll be days like this. All my mama told me there'll be days like this. Well, my mama told me there'll be days like this. Oh, my mama told me, she said there'll be days like this.
If you want to learn about how paranormal investigators use technology, what we use, and how it works, then check out Tech Time with Brock and Doc every Sunday at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, only on the Paramania Radio Network.
Welcome back to Sunday Morning Spiritual, and a big thank you to our brilliant guest, Mother Amanda. And while the music has been on, David has made his way down to Ipoh Corner. He's not only got the one man and his dog, but there's a lady there with a cat. So you've got a double audience.
You've
got a double audience this morning, David.
Well, I'm feeling slightly less testy as well. So, the cat will get it. Dearly beloved brethren, we are gathered here this morning to discuss the notables of spiritualism and their friends. I think this one counts as a friend. I was trying to think of, we need some more Yanks. So Hamlin Garland, I think that was his name, 1860 to 1940, an American novelist, poet, essayist, short story writer, Georgist. Now that's a type of economics that was linked in with land rights, very ecological. Because he's sort of linked in with Minor 49, you know, the gold rush, all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And practicing parapsychologist. Now, Garland is quite remarkable in some ways because he serialized a biography of General Ulysses S. Grant in McClure's magazine before publishing it as a book. I think that was one of those sort of new innovative things that people were coming up with in America at that particular time. You know, make it accessible to everybody. Radical democracy, include everybody. After which, Garland himself got so caught up in these gold rush, you know, Klondike gold rush stuff, that he actually went to the Yukon to see the madness for himself. I mean, people nowadays, I think, tend to see it as, you know, bold and brave, you know, people trying to look for their fortunes. They were all crazy. And sort of killing each other for the slightest reason to get gold which wasn't there in the first place.
Well, I mean,
so it was.
I'm going to say it's like when I went to Sedona, that's named after the wife of, I think his name was Jacob, and they went there and they became the first post office and station master for the railway. And from there, that was about the gold rush, and from there I went with Manny up to Jerome, which is exactly a mile high above sea, and that was like the biggest place for the gold rush up in Arizona. So I've seen it for first hand, and there's still a lot of memories from there, you know. And yes, it was Wild West. It wasn't, and people I think were a bit crazy, to say the least.
Well, I mean, certainly medical opinion. That's not me sounding off. Was beginning to say that it was a mania.
Yes.
That it's not just people looking for riches in the worldly sense. there were people getting genuinely obsessed, and there were government debates on it all. American government debates. And also, let's not get too carried away. I mean, what's Europe doing at that particular time? You know, pioneering the sciences and the arts. So, you know, when all these people are shooting each other in the back over there for a few extra bucks, Europe was flowering into a whole new wave of culture and evolution. Anyway, after moving to Hollywood, Mr. Garland started becoming a very serious investigator of psychic phenomena.
Right.
I think his first book on this subject, oh God, what's it called? The Mystery of the Buried Crosses, I seem to remember, where he gives a series of very powerful arguments legitimizing psychic mediumship. And curiously, that sort of fits in with what I was saying earlier. You know, there is a division between the sciences and what they can do and the psychic, whatever that is. You know, the minute we start getting into the realms of mystery, that is not science. And science at the end of the day, and I'm a great fan of the sciences, I'm not one of its detractors, you know, is based on rationalist materialism. What else could it be based on? Therefore, the minute we start looking to the scientific community to start making pronouncements on things which by definition are outside that, we're setting ourselves up to be knocked down.
Yeah.
So, you know, that is why maybe the more traditional ways of approaching spirit, philosophy, theology, prayer, and so on, are actually tried and tested and the correct ways for us to go.
I can see that. I think sometimes, although we can talk about spirit, in lots of ways, use the expression landlocked, that we only look at it from the perspective of down here on Earth, instead of trying to, shall we say, understand more about what life is like in spirit. I know you get connections with spirit guides or people who've come to visit us, or energies that are trapped. But wouldn't it be marvellous to actually get a total insight to our other realm that is there?
Oh, certainly, Alan. But, you know, by definition, that is not the realm of nature. What are the sciences designed to do? Study nature.
Yeah.
Therefore, I never understand what the hell parapsychology people are going on about. Are you studying nature when you're making those claims? No. It's really that simple. If you pin somebody down, what assertion about nature are you making by talking about spirit? If they answer that, they've either got no brain or they've misunderstood completely what they're doing. You know, I mean, one of the things you do is you're very clear about the distinction. You know, Yes. You're very clear that this is the point beyond which we're looking at something else. It's in all of your shows. And from the minute I met you, I thought, what an intelligent position to adopt. You know, you're aware that these subtle things can't be addressed in the same way we talk about motor mechanics.
No, that's right.
You know, or the same way we talk about plumbing or engineering. That is what the sciences do. That is what they're designed to do. Studying waterfalls and the wonderful activities of the sea and the air. And so how does spirit come into this? By implication, yes.
Yeah.
But only by that.
Yes, I agree.
So that's why we're always setting ourselves up to be knocked down. And shame on us. You know, we're not even listening to the serious scientists. We're not even listening to the scientists who are sympathetic to what we're saying when they say, you know, you can't do it this way if you thought of a different way of doing it. And that is the whole problem plaguing the paranormal community at the moment, to my humble mind. There is no way of extending the natural sciences beyond nature. And the minute they try that, then they're a belief system like every other belief system. They're not scientific. That's the point.
Yeah. Yes, because we're a being on this planet now. We're alive, whatever that actually means. And then when we transcend over to spirit, yes, we're still alive, but in a different way, in a different, not just in a different dimension, but in a different part, section of our very being. And so what goes on in earth, and you're on about the waterfalls and nature and everything, it is a totally separate thing. Whether the in spirit everything is, shall we say, like it is down here, that you can create the beautiful world that we live in here, that's another thought process, isn't it? Is that some people think that we have created down here what it is in spirit. We'll all find out one day.
That type of material intrigues me. There's a wonderful book by Professor Hicks, I think it was him, I'll have to check that, called Death and Eternal Life. I might talk about him in a couple of weeks' time, where he's talking about those types of experience and those types of material. And he's saying, you know, those types of writings. And he's saying, you know, we've got to remember that at the lower levels of the other world, these things are experienced, but they're dependent on the mind. They're mind dependent. They're not physical.
Yeah.
Therefore, it's like some sort of weird reflection of what happens here, but it is not what happens here. And how can you tell that? Because what happens over there, you know, according to some near-death experiences or some people who claim they've got regular access to these realms, you know, I'm walking along the road, then I'm the other side of the country. That yeah. must give people a clue that they're not here, and the laws there are not the same laws as they are here. And the minute we admit that, then there's a difference between the natural sciences and the so-called psychic sciences,
yeah.
because what happens there cannot happen here.
Yes, indeed. Believe it or not, we've run out of time, David. I think.
Oh, we bored everybody to death this morning.
I think it's been a brilliant show, and it's gone so quick. And our thoughts, love, and safe journey to you on Wednesday.
Thank you.
You have a marvellous time. And the next time we talk on Sunday Morning Spiritual, it'll be Professor David Parry.
Scary thought, yeah. I'll actually use that one. I think I've got to. But anyway.
Okay. Well,
I'll call you before I go, Alan, anyway.
Yeah, of course. And that's brilliant. And everybody have a lovely Sunday. And we'll catch you soon. I can never say goodbye, but we have to. Jimmy Somerville says he can never. But goodbye.